Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today we will be talking about Markel Corporation. Markel Corporation is involved in insurance, reinsurance, and investment operations around the world. I recently stopped by Markel's 2022 brunch in Omaha after the Berkshire Hathaway meeting and sat in the Q&A session with management. In this video, we will be talking about the company's annual report, then review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios, and finally find the intrinsic value of the company. So let's dive in and review Markel Corporation.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the Form 10-K, which is the annual report that Markel Corporation filed with the SEC. This is for the fiscal year that ended December 31st, 2021. And on page 3 of this report, the company provides us an overview of its business. Markel Corporation is a diverse financial holding company serving a variety of niche markets. It aspires to build one of the world's great companies and develop three financial engines in pursuit of this goal. The first financial engine is insurance. Its principal business markets and underwrites specialty insurance products using multiple platforms that enables it to best match risk and capital. The second financial engine is investments. Its investment activities are primarily related to its underwriting operations. The majority of its investable assets come from premiums paid by policyholders, and the remainder is comprised of shareholder funds. The third and last financial engine is Markel Ventures. Through its Markel Venture operations, it owns controlling interests in diverse portfolio of businesses that operate outside of the specialty insurance marketplace. Markel's financial goals are to earn consistent underwriting and operating profits and superior investment returns to build shareholder value. The company's financial success is measured by its ability to grow its book value per share and the stock price per share, or total shareholder return, at high rates of return over a long period of time. The company points out that it uses five-year periods to measure performance, and the growth in book value per common share is an important measure of success because it includes all underwriting, operating, and investment results. Next, the company shows us a graph of its book value per share and its stock price per share over the past 5 years. On the next page, the company provides us a brief summary of its financial data over the past 5 years. For the fiscal year 2021, the company earned premiums amounting to about $6.5 billion. Its investment gains amounted to about $2 billion. The Markel Venture operations brought in about $3.6 billion in revenue, and the total operating revenue amounted to about $12.8 billion. We can see that all three segments, that is insurance, investments, and Markel Ventures, saw a growth in its revenue as compared to those numbers in 2020. The net income, which is the bottom line of the income statement, and this is the amount of money that's left with the company once it pays for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. It was left with about $2.4 billion in 2021. This is the highest net income number that the company has seen over the past 5 years. Next is the comprehensive income. The comprehensive income is the net income, but it adds or subtracts any foreign exchange fluctuations or any changes in hedges or derivatives that the company holds. For the year 2021, the company's comprehensive income amounted to about $2 billion. Finally, the company's diluted net income per common share is about $176.5 per share. After that, looking at the financial position, the company's total investments, cash and cash equivalents, and restricted cash and cash equivalents amounted to about $28.3 billion. Ever since 2018, the company's total investment has been trending upwards. Next is the total assets. For the year 2021, the company's total assets amounted to about $48 billion. And similar to the trend that we see with the total investments, the company's total assets have also been trending upwards. Next is the unpaid losses and loss adjustment expenses. This is a reserve that the company sets aside for any claims. For the year 2021, the company's unpaid losses and loss adjustments amounted to about $18 billion. And over the past 5 years, the company's unpaid losses and loss adjustment reserves have also been trending upwards. Finally, looking at the shareholders' equity, the shareholders' equity is similar to the book value, which is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from the company's total assets. For the year 2021, the company's shareholders' equity amounted to about $14.7 billion, and for the year 2017, it was about $9.5 billion. Over the past 5 years, the company's shareholders' equity has slowly been trending upwards. Finally, looking at the common shares outstanding, back in 2017, the company had 13.9 million shares outstanding. And for the year 2021, it had about 13.6 million shares outstanding. Over the past 5 years, the company's shares outstanding number has slowly been trending downwards, which tells us that the company is buying back its shares, which actually helps increase the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. Now let's look at the consolidated performance measures. The book value per common shares outstanding for the year 2021 was $1,035 per share. Ideally, we wanted the company's book value per share to be positive, staying steady or increasing. And over the past 5 years, the company's book value per share has slowly been trending upwards. For the year 2021, the five-year compounded average growth rate in book value per share was about 11%. Next, looking at the US GAAP combined ratio, the combined ratio adds up the company's expenses and losses and divides it by the company's premium. Ideally, we want the company's combined ratio to be less than 100. Anytime the company's combined ratio is less than 100, it tells us that the company is making underwriting profit. A combined ratio of 90% tells us that every $100 that the company makes in premium, it has about $10 profit. In other words, every $100 that it makes in premium, its costs, expenses, losses amount to about $90. Ever since 2018, the company's combined ratio has been less than 100%, which tells us that the company has been making underwriting profit. Next is the investment yield. For the year 2021, the company's investment yield was about 2%, and the taxable equivalent total investment return was about 9%. On page 47 of this report, the company provides us further detail about its investment portfolio. For the year 2021, the company's equities portfolio had a return of about 29.6%. Its fixed maturity securities, cash, and short-term investments had a return of about negative 0.7%. The total portfolio before foreign currency effect was about 9%. And the total portfolio return for 2021 was 8.8%. Now let's go to page 5 of this report, where the company further breaks down its first reportable segment, which is its insurance segment. The company's insurance engine is comprised of the following types of operations. First is the underwriting operation. Its underwriting operation is comprised of risk-bearing insurance and reinsurance operations. The second insurance engine is its insurance-linked securities, which include investment fund managers that offer a variety of management products, including insurance-linked securities, catastrophe bonds, insurance swaps, and weather derivatives. The third insurance engine is the program services, which serves as a fronting platform that provides other insurance entities access to the United States property and casualty insurance market. On page 17 of this report, the company provides us information about its other two operating segments, which is its investments in Markel Venture. Markel points out that its business strategy recognizes the importance of consistent underwriting and operating profits and superior investment returns to build shareholder value. Majority of the company's investable assets come from premiums paid by policyholders. The policyholder funds are invested predominantly in high-quality government, municipal, and corporate bonds that generally match the duration and currency of its loss reserves. On the other hand, the balance, which is comprised of the shareholder funds, is available to be invested in equity securities, which over the long run has produced higher returns relative to fixed maturities investments. So the way Markel invests is when a policyholder pays the premium, Markel puts that money aside towards a fixed income security. And when that policy expires, that is when Markel actually realizes a profit, that profit is then invested in equity securities. The third and last operating segment is the Markel Ventures segment. Markel points out that through its wholly owned subsidiary, Markel Ventures, Inc., it owns controlling interests in various high-quality businesses that operate outside of its specialty insurance marketplace, but have a shared goal of positively contributing to the long-term financial performance of Markel Corporation. Management views these businesses as separate and distinct from its insurance operations. Management teams of each business operate autonomously and are responsible for developing strategic initiatives, managing day-to-day operations, and making investments and capital allocation decisions for their respective companies. So the way Markel is set up with its insurance leg, its investments leg, and its Markel Ventures leg, it is a lot like Berkshire Hathaway. And Berkshire Hathaway uses float to make investments and also purchase high-quality businesses. Now let's look at some of the profitability key ratios on Morningstar. The first one is going to be the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's net income to its revenue, so compares the company's bottom line to its top line. Back in 2012, the company's net margin was 8.34%. For the year 2021, it was 18.87%. And for the trailing 12 months, it was 13.95%. What this means is every $100 that the company made in premium over the past 12 months, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had $13.95 left as pure profit. Next is the return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2012, the company's return on equity was about 6.88%, and for the trailing 12 months, it was 13.53%. The three ways that the company can increase its return on equity numbers is first when the company's income goes up, second is when the company buys back its shares, and third is when the company becomes more leveraged, that is when it takes on more debt, it can report inflated return on equity numbers. Finally, looking at the interest coverage, the interest coverage is the ratio of the company's income to its interest obligations. So give us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest using its income in that calendar year. Back in 2012, the company's interest coverage was 4.36 times. And for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 13.24 times. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in securities that had an interest coverage of 5 times or higher. Now let's look at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract the company's capital spending from its operating cash flow. Back in 2012, the company's free cash flow was about $347 million. And for the year 2021, it was $2,129 million. Ideally, we want to see the company's free cash flow numbers to be positive, staying steady or increasing. I will be using the 2021 free cash flow number of 2,129 for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. With that in mind, now let's look at Markel's discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Over here, I pasted the company's 2021 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which was $2,129 million. I'm using an annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 4%. What this means is I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 4% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. What this means is I want this investment to give me a 10% return. In other words, I want to double my investment in 7 years. I'm using a long-term growth rate to be 3.23%. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect Markel's free cash flow to grow at 3.23%. This number is in line with the US 30-year treasury yield. The company has about 14 million shares outstanding and has a long-term debt of $4,361 million. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the company's intrinsic value to be about $2,071 per share. And we compare this intrinsic value to the company's current stock price, which is about $1,329 per share. We can see that the company's current stock is trading about 36% below the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about $15.8 billion. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up to get the intrinsic value to be about $33.3 billion. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $2,071. If you disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if you think that Markel Corporation is only going to grow for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about $820 per share. If you disregard the debt, in other words, if you think that Markel Corporation is going to grow into perpetuity, so there's no point for the company to worry about paying off its debt, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt to be about $2,383 per share. Finally, let's try to figure out what kind of return can we expect to get on this investment if you were to invest in the security at the current stock price. For that, we will run a goal seek analysis where we will set ourselves to the intrinsic value. Our two value will be the current stock price, which is $1,329.02 per share. And we will run this analysis by changing the discount rate. What we get is if you were to invest in the security at the current stock price, we can expect to get an annual return of about 12.97% on this investment. Overall, Markel Corporation seems to have good fundamentals. The company is undervalued not only from a discounted free cash flow DCF analysis standpoint, but also when we look at the company's current valuation. The company is currently undervalued as compared to the valuations of its 5-year average. The way Markel Corporation is set up, it is similar to a mini Berkshire Hathaway that uses insurance float in order to make wise and prudent investments to grow the business. When I was in Omaha for the 2022 Berkshire Hathaway meeting, I stopped by on Sunday at the Markel brunch, and I was impressed by the management's integrity and transparency with all the questions that shareholders were asking. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Markel Corporation interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you.